got Kid Zone for you. For everybody else, we're going to dive into the book of Romans. How exciting is that? So I'm excited to get a chance to share with you. Did I turn this on? Let me make sure I got everything here.
Hello.
Yep, we're good. So excited. We had so many technical difficulties this morning. So like Pastor Dave airdropped that video to my phone and I was using cellular data to try to upload it to come here. And so, yeah, if he asks, the video went fine. It was very smooth. You want to come out and pray on Wednesday night. Fantastic. So I'm so excited to get a chance to share with you. Pastor Dave asked me a couple months ago. He's like, hey, there's this thing going on at the beginning of September. Can you share? And I'm like, yeah. And as I began to think about it, I was actually, in my head, I was thinking of the Wednesday night Bible study that's coming up because I get the chance to lead the Wednesday night Bible studies. And I'm so immensely stoked about what we're doing on Wednesday night. So we walked through the Old Testament last school year, September through, and we started off at a sprint, and then we slowed way down at the end. It was so much fun. I had a blast. We had some fun discussions. And so then on Wednesday nights, we are walking through the New Testament, and I've been like doing some reading up on what happened between the Old Testament and the New Testament. What was going on, the world that Jesus and Paul and the disciples all walked around in. And I was like, man, I'd love to do like a sneak peek of something like that. But this is so, I was like, because we're starting a new season. And then I loved it because then Pastor Dave on Sunday, last Sunday, he made this statement about, hey, yeah, you'll fall, we're heading into a new season. And he began to talk about these seasons. And this morning, you know, these seasons, I thought, yes. And so there's a piece of this that's like, I want you to be thinking about because as we look at the book of Romans this morning, you know, and we're talking about seasons of success and heading into a new season. And I want you to kind of, when you're thinking about it, because we love seasons. We love seasons change. Like I said, my daughter has been celebrating fall already. And actually, she's pretty much celebrating Christmas. It was yesterday. She's like, do you hear it, Dad? I can hear Mariah Carey singing that song. I can hear it, Dad. I was like, you cannot. Get out of the car. And so, you know, these seasons of change, we love celebrating seasons. And so one of the things that comes with new seasons when you're a parent with kids in school is a lot of, you know, sports. How many of you did sports in high school or junior high? Anybody got a few of you here? So you may not know, my kids, they do sports. We've got them in, you know, soccer and cross country. We've been doing sports for years. I played sports in junior high and high school. My senior year, I was on soccer, and we had a guy's volleyball team. I ran track, a basketball. And what do? You go into a season, and your goal is to what? To win. You want to have a winning season. You want to be amazing. And coaches, they like assessing what they've got, you know, the people that come into the team and stuff like that. And they're like, okay, we're going to have a winning season. We want to win. And so I got to tell you, we were not great at all. This is 1991, soccer season, and we received, in the early 90s, we received the participation award. Do you know what you got to do to receive the participation award in the early 90s? You've got to lose every game and have a good attitude about it. That's what you have to do. And we got that, and we were laughing because we're like, yeah, we're lousy, but we had so much fun. And so then I played basketball. And so like before games, and our coach, we were not tall. We went to a Christian school. We're not tall, none of us. And we weren't, like I said, we weren't great. We weren't awful. I mean, there were some people who were worse than us, but you know, we weren't great. And he told us this, like, he's like, so here's the deal, guys. None of you are like star basketball players, but you're going to be able to outrun every other team. And we did. We were very fast. But we won some games. But in my head, so before each game, my friend and I would get together, and we would watch Michael Jordan's Come Fly With Me. So if you're not familiar, you got to put the picture up of the Michael Jordan here. So I actually owned both these posters in high school. These were on my wall, and in my head, this was me with a slightly better tan. But, you know, this was me. I mean, and we'd watch this, and we're like, okay, this is us. We can do this. We're going to win. We're going to be amazing. So if you look at the next picture, this is actually me. And so I'm the little kid squinting his eyes there on the end with the tie, and so I was looking pretty dapper there, seventh grade. And that's my junior of high school. Look at that defensive stance. He's ready for action. I was doing amazing, I'm sure. And so, but the thing was, is, you know, if you were to look at the seasons and look at us from an actual, like, you know, okay, did they have a successful season? We lost a lot. In fact, we went to, my senior year, we went to a whole different league from the Christian School League. This guy dunked on my friend during the game. And we all stopped because we'd never seen anything like that before in real life. I mean, this is Alaska. Nobody dunks in Alaska. And this was like, we're like, and our coach is yelling at us, will you guys start playing, please? And we're like, yes, they're impressive. And so, you know, from a purely athletic point of view, we didn't necessarily have successful seasons. Yet, as I look back, this was some enjoyable, successful times of my life. And I want to talk a little bit about that later, but we're going to look at success in a season of success. And we're going to look at the book of Romans, and we're going to look at the end of the book of Romans. And my whole big idea today, you can take off my beautiful pictures there. We could put the key point up here. This is a complicated, deep thought that is actually really deep and profound in its simplicity, that life and hope are found in Jesus. When it comes to success, when it comes to truly being and going where God wants us to go, this is a profoundly deep thought. And so as we look at the book of Romans, so the book of Romans is the Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, the sixth book in the Bible, in the New Testament, and is a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome. He had not visited the church before. He had never been there. He had a desire to go there. He expresses that in the letter, but he had not had the opportunity to go there yet. And so you can actually read about his journey to Jerusalem with his plan to go, and we'll talk a little bit about that, his plan to go to Jerusalem and then go to Rome. But he had not been there, but he wanted to write the church in Rome. And it's interesting. So the book of Romans is a great example is Pastor Dave has a commentary, which is, you know, on the book of Romans in his office. So Romans is 16 chapters, very thin. You can read it in about an hour if you're really trying to understand it a little longer than that. But, you know, he's got a book that big that is a commentary on the book of Romans. It is a deeply profound letter that analyzes the gospel message in profound ways. In fact, Martin Luther, the great theologian and reformer, said this about Romans. He said, Paul's letter to the Romans is really the chief part of the New Testament and is truly the purest gospel. He goes on to write that it is his belief that every believer should daily read Romans and should ponder its profoundness and the depth of the gospel that's presented in the book of Romans, which I can probably safely say that most, if not all of us, don't do that. But it is, there's a profoundness. It's a complicated, weighty discussion on the gospel message. And it's so, so very good. And so the Apostle Paul, as he's writing this letter to the Church of Rome, he's trying to help them out. They're dealing with some problems, and he has a desire to visit them and wants to let them know, hey, I want to come visit you. And so we get to this letter, and so we're actually going to look at the end of the letter. If you want to discuss the thing in full, come to our Wednesday night Bible study. But we're going to look at the end of the letter. So in Romans chapter 15, and we're going to look at success and ask ourselves, because an interesting thought is, even Paul's desires and goals in writing the book of Romans was he successful? It's kind of an interesting thought, because he had desires and goals when he wrote the book of Romans, but we'll get to those in a moment. Bless you. So Romans chapter 15, starting in verse 14. And so Paul's writing here, and he says, I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you, yourselves, are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. So it's a great statement, because that beginning part there, because he had actually been, hadn't been reprimanding them, but he'd been reminding them of things they'd already known. And so he's like, okay, so I just want you to know that you are competent to instruct one another. You're full of goodness and all this stuff. You're doing a good job. He says, "Yet I have written you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles." And so, if you didn't know, when he's referring to the Gentiles, and so the word Gentiles actually comes from its root is found in the word nations, somewhat. And so the Jews would say, we're the Jewish people and the nations, or the Gentiles. And so, essentially, it's everybody who's not Jewish when Paul's writing that. Sometimes he'll toss around Greek, and sometimes he says Gentiles. It's everybody who's not Jewish. So Paul's like, God gave me this grace to be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done. By the power of signs and wonders through the power of the Spirit of God. So from Jerusalem all the way around to Lycrum, which is the northernmost point in Greece that he did on his missionary journeys, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, those who have not heard will understand. So Paul has got a game plan here. His game plan is to proclaim the gospel wherever he goes. Now, for those of you who play games, you like to play games, and Pastor Dave says this every once in a while, talks about playing games. You play to win, right? You play, and my wife's like, yes. And so it's really funny. When I play games with my kids, I'll just tell you, and this ongoing joke is like, careful, he's trying to win. It's a secret. And so they find me sneaky, not deceptive. They find me sneaky. They think I'm trying to talk them out of things. I'm not trying to talk. I'm trying to be fair and honest. Always fair and honest and trying to win. You know, we've got these goals. We like to win. Paul's goal, and he mentions it here, he mentions it in other parts in Romans, he mentions it in his other letters. God has called him to proclaim the gospel where it has not been known and proclaim the gospel to the Gentiles. In fact, he sees the ministry he does as priestly service. He's like, okay, in this I am a priest. I have a ministry, and this is my ministry to proclaim the good news of Jesus where it has not been proclaimed. And so what's so interesting about the way he presents this is, and you can get this throughout Romans, you get this through some of his other writings, is this ministry he has of proclaiming. It really came down to two things. I heard it mentioned this way, that Paul wanted to see worship happening where there are believers. There should be worship happening where there are believers, and where there's not worship happening, then mission needs to happen. The mission of presenting the gospel. If there's not worship, there needs to be mission. It's one or the other. And his goal was to take the mission where the worship wasn't happening. What's great is as he talks to believers, followers of Jesus, he presents the same things to them essentially. That wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever we do, we have ministry of presenting the gospel in our homes with our kids, our jobs here in Asbury Church, you know, wherever we go, we have the ministry. My father-in-law used to say it this way. I loved this statement. This has always been a favorite of mine. Is that he said, the church he was pastoring in Idaho City, he'd say, every member has a ministry. And the heart of that is like every follower of Jesus has a ministry. That you have, as followers of Jesus, we all have a ministry. Now your ministry may be playing on the drums or singing. Your ministry may be teaching, maybe working in an office, whatever it may be, maybe being a parent, being a grandparent, whatever it may be, your ministry as followers of Jesus, we have a ministry, and that is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus through everything we say and everything we do. And as part of a successful life of following Jesus, Paul would be like, yeah, you get to the end, in fact, the end of his life, he talks, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've done it. You know, he's preached, later on he'll say, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Everything I do is for the declaration of the good news of Jesus. So we have success is found, and I like the, whoops, that's the wrong point. There we go, let's try this one. Success is found by knowing where and what the goal is. And as I said, the goal is life and hope are found in Jesus. Keeping that in there. Paul goes on here. He says this. He said in verse 22. So he's like, okay, so this is why I'm doing what I'm doing. And then he goes on in verse 22. It says, this is why, because he's been so busy preaching the gospel all over. This is why I've been hindered from coming to you. But now that there is no more place for me to work in these regions, and since I have been longing for many years to visit you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. So he's got this desire to go to Spain and preach the gospel. He says, I hope to see you while passing through and have you assist me on my journey there after I've enjoyed your company for a while. Now, however, I'm on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution to the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. And so you can read about his, like I said, you can read about his journey down to Jerusalem in the book of Acts towards the middle-ish area there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution to the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it. Indeed, they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. So one of the things that was happening in the early church is there were some racial tensions going on. One of the reasons Paul was dealing with some of the issues he was dealing with in Rome, in the letter to the Romans, it was because all the Jews had been kicked out of the city of Rome by the emperor, and they were starting to move back. And so there was all of a sudden these different beliefs about exactly how we should be Christians, and so there was some tensions. When people get together, there's friction and there's tensions, and sometimes there's disagreements how things should operate. We see this in our homes. We even see it in church sometimes, sadly enough. And so the early church was having some tensions, and so Paul's like, hey, you know, the nations have received this blessing from the Jewish people. It's great. They should in turn bless as you've been blessed and return that. And so he had some tension about taking the offering down to Jerusalem because it was coming from non-Jewish people. He was afraid that they might not receive the offering. And so Paul, in fact, when he was finally arrested down in Jerusalem, that was one of the accusations, is that he had given up being a Jewish man and was, you know, following the ways of the Gentiles instead. And so that was one of the accusations against him. He's like, no. I'm just trying to reach people for Jesus. And so that's kind of why he's writing some of this. There was some tension going on. So after I've completed this task and made sure that they receive this contribution, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. So Paul, he is, like I said, he is doing everything he can to accomplish the mission. He's very clear about it. This is what I want to do. And he had this plan to go to Spain. So what's really interesting about this is we don't actually know if he ever made it to Spain. So he goes to Jerusalem and he gets arrested. He's held in prison. And he, because he's a Roman citizen, he appeals to Caesar, because that was his right as a Roman citizen, that he could appeal to plead his case before Caesar. And so it takes the next several years. He ends up making it up to Rome. Eventually he makes it there. He does meet with the Christians there. You can read about that in the book of Acts. And so he makes it up there. But we actually don't know if he ever made it to Spain. There is some thought that he did, but there's no proof or evidence of it. So what's really interesting is he wrote this letter because he's trying to make a connection with the church in Rome, and because he's got this passion to go preach the gospel in Spain. So the goal of the letter was making some connections, helping the church out, so that he could have that church help him on his missionary journey to Spain. And he may not have made it there. And so an interesting thought and question is like, okay, was it a failure then? I heard one commentator where he said, it's so cool because God put a passion in Paul's heart to go to Spain so that we could have the book of Romans. It's like, because he wrote that with this goal that he may have not achieved. And yet what we have from the letter to the Roman church is incredible. And so I honestly believe that Paul, in retrospect, would say, yeah, you know, I didn't make it to Spain, but God is still being proclaimed through all that I've been able to do. And because the ultimate goal, no matter what Paul's plans were, and you can read, you know, he had plans and it didn't work. Plans to do this didn't work. Plans to do that didn't work. And he just kept going, whatever it took, is recognizing he was a part of something huge and wanting to make a difference wherever he was for the gospel. And he recognized that he had been equipped to do this. He talks about it in several of his letters about, you know, the things that he had gone through so that he could present the gospel. And I think that's such an important thing as we think about, you know, how, you know, our life and hope are found in Jesus, and that as ministers of the gospel, we are to present the gospel, the good news of Jesus, everywhere we go, in our homes, in our families, our work, and stuff like that. And we have all been gifted and equipped in many different ways. We did yesterday, I got some pictures there of what we did yesterday. Yesterday we had a chance to go to the Lansing Carnival. And we did face painting and sand art, and it was a lot of fun. And, you know, do we do it because it's fun? Yeah. We do it and it's fun. We do it because we want to make connection in our community and, you know, meet some people and tell them about Jesus with all that we do and say. It's an opportunity. I got to tell you, I love things like this because some of us are not always great at talking to people we don't know. And some, it's this natural thing. So, I, you know, my wife here, I'm going to like embarrass her for a second, I'm sure. So we were on camping on our vacation. And I can't remember where we were, but one of the kids asked me, I said, where's mom? I said, she's doing what she does best. And they're like, she's met somebody and talking to them, isn't she? And I was like, yes, she is. And, you know, she's great at just chit-chatting with people. I see Amber Marshall. She does it great. You know, there are different ones. I am not that person. I mean, I like talking to people, but I'm like not the outgoing. You may not know. I'm not the outgoing, gregarious sort of get out there and meet people sort of person. And yet God has gifted each of us in different ways where we can reach people with the gospel. We can have these discussions. We can at our jobs. You have strengths and opportunities that I will never have to reach people with the gospel. I loved it. You know, spending time in church. 21 days of prayer. We have been very intentional, and I hope we've been clear about this, about as a family, you should come to the night of worship and prayer. Because that is another way that we help parents, we help our kids learn what it means to follow Jesus and to connect with Him and the importance of prayer and worship in our lives. I had to go to things like this as a kid, and I'll tell you, honestly, didn't enjoy them as a kid at the time, but there were always these pieces. There were these moments that God spoke to me in different ways, and looking back on those were formative to who I am now because it was put as a priority by my parents. You will go. You know, my dad would say, you know, this is the day that the Lord has made. You will rejoice in it and be glad. And so, you know, there's these, you got to do this. And so, you know, this is making things like this, taking the opportunity to be equipped. This is why, okay, so we're having a, you know, quick commercial. We're having a hospitality training because greeting is so important. And we have some amazing people who greet people every week. You guys do a great job. You're friendly. And there are some of you that are like, okay, so I could stand up there and I could say hi to people. It's not complicated. Even I can do it. I can say hi to people. Welcome. Thanks for coming to Asbury Church. And so that's why we do it. This is why we're having a hospitality training next week at 10 a.m. Because these things are important, and they're the little things that make such a difference in somebody else's life that you may not even realize the difference you're making by just, hey, welcome to Asbury Church. How are you doing? It's such a huge thing. Which brings us to the last part of the verse, the chapter here, where Paul says this, starting in verse 30. He says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be kept safe from the unbelievers in Judea, and that the contribution I take to Jerusalem may be favorably received by the Lord's people there, so that I may come to you with joy by God's will and be in your company and in your company be refreshed. The God of peace be with you all. Amen. It is such a great thing because the Apostle Paul, he's like, hey, I can't do this alone. Believers, I need you to be praying for me. And this is not the only place he does this. I had a chance to speak at the beginning of the summer, big prayers I talked about in the book of Ephesians, and Paul is like asking the believers there, pray for me, be praying for the work that I'm doing. It is such an important thing what we do, and recognizing that we need the power of God in our lives. We need it for our families, for our community. We need the power of God in our lives. We need to be praying for each other, praying for our community, praying for Asbury Church, praying. We need that so desperately because to do the work that God has called us to do is bigger than a physical work. It's a spiritual work. And we, as Paul will write, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers in high places. This is a spiritual warfare. And the enemy would love nothing better than to destroy us. But we so desperately need that. Because, what's our key point? Put that up there, Kinder. Life and hope. Life and hope are found in Jesus. And what we do as followers of Jesus is important. It is vastly important. And people need hope. There was an interesting experiment done on people. I had to do many years ago. I couldn't find the exact date of it, but I found some description of the experiment. It was done on people's ability to handle pain. And so what they did is they had a bucket of water, ice water, this bucket of ice water. And they put these people, a person in a room by themselves. And they said, okay, here's what you're going to do. We're going to leave. We want you to step in the bucket of ice water and stay there as long as you want. You can get out whenever you want. Just get in the bucket, stay as long as you want, and get out. So they did this. And people, they leave. Person's alone in the room. They get in the bucket of ice water. In very little time, they got out. I don't know about you. I didn't go swimming. I went with my family on our vacation to this freshwater mountain spring of death. And it was like so cold. It's like ice water, and my daughters are like swimming in this thing. I was like, yeah, no, I did that when I was in high school. No, thank you. And so it was cold. And so like I put my feet in it, and you put your feet in ice water, and you feel it in your joints all over the place. You're like, yeah, nope, no, thank you. So they did this. Bunch of people did this, and then they had them come into a room with some other people. And the person stepping in the bucket of ice water was told the same thing. Get in the bucket of ice water. You can get out whenever you want. What they didn't know is the people in the room with them were told, we want you to encourage the person to stay in the bucket of ice water. And what they found is that without fail, across the board, the people who had encouragement stayed at least twice as long on average as the people who didn't have any encouragement at all. And it's so interesting because when we surround ourselves with people who encourage us, the things that we can accomplish. As the church, you know, like I said, your ministry is so vitally important. So, Kendra, I want you to put the basketball picture, not the Michael Jordan one as much as I dream. But so this picture of me with the tie, I'm looking so adorable, is seventh grade. So that'd be 1986, I believe. Maybe 87, but, and so I'm like, you know, 12, 13 years old, and that's my junior year, 1991. So what's interesting is between picture one and picture two, the things that had happened in my life. So picture two there would have probably, it's the season of my junior in high school, so it's anywhere from November to January, somewhere in there that picture's been taken. So my parents actually separated that year. It was awful. Awful, horrible thing. And didn't know it at the time because, well, this is the early 90s. Nobody dealt with depression in the early 90s. You know, I was dealing with depression. I was dealing with some awful, awful stuff. And I have to tell you, I mean, I felt alone and like there was a whole lot of stuff going on with it. It was just irritating and sad and difficult. But I look back on that from this vantage point, and I see Mr. Keys. Mr. Keys was a greeter at our church, an usher. And Mr. Keys was just this old grumpy guy who taught Sunday school when I was in for fifth and sixth grade boys. And he was there every week, and it was nothing spectacular, but Mr. Keys would say hi to us every Sunday. There was my youth pastor who just like, hey, Dwayne, I just want to cry with you. He's like, I'm so sorry. This sucks. I'm like, yeah, Gary, it sucks. You know? And the ministry that those fellow believers poured into my life. At the time, like, they're just nice people. But looking back, I know it was Jesus in their lives equipping them to be what I needed to be. As one of my mentors said when I was a young youth pastor, they were being Jesus with skin on. They were like a physical representation of my Savior. And this, as a church, this is our ministry, because we have in this room, there are people who are dealing with stuff in between those stages, you know, And, you know, did it stop there? Did all the bad things stop my junior high school? No, I've had loss, I've had pain, I've had highs, I've had lows, like we all have. And the important thing about the church, about who we are as a church, is so incredible. What we can do as we not only live with the reality that life and hope is found in Jesus, but communicate that reality through all that we do and say, is quite literally, I believe, life-changing for people. Because if it weren't for the church, I have no idea where I'd be today. If it weren't for Jesus, for the people of God that he brought into my life. And so, you know, I was like, you know, as we are doing this today, as I had the opportunity to share, I was like, God, what should I share? And I got to tell you, just this whole idea of, you know, success. What does success look like? Success in following Jesus is following Jesus and knowing that no matter what, he's with us. He is our strength. He is our hope. He is our life, our salvation. And we have something so vital to share with those around us, in our families, in our community, at our jobs. And we don't have to always have all the answers, but just the presence of what we can give to those around us. I'm going to invite the worship team up here, and we're going to, here in a second, we're going to close the song. We're going to sing Trust in God, because because I know as we were singing that today, and the I sought the Lord and he answered comes from one of the Psalms. I should have looked it up, but I didn't think of it until just now. But is this, you know, David's like, I sought the Lord and he answered me, or the psalmist writes that. And, you know, just this whole what we have to give here to each other each week, what we have to give to our families, to our community, is big. And I know, you know, I look around at you, and so many of you, I know parts and pieces of your lives, and know that a lot of you, you know, you'd say you're here. You'd say, yeah, we have something huge to give. And I think that, and just even now, just like thinking of that, you have no idea. None of us do. Just the big impact that those little connections of sharing the love of Jesus with somebody will make. For me, one of the pieces of it was, many years later, and I think I've shared this story before, but many years later, as I was youth pastoring, Levita and I were on a missions trip, and there was this young man who, cell phones were a fairly new thing that people had, and this young man had been on his first missions trip, first time away from home, really, seventh grade, and we went to an amusement park, and he went on his first roller coaster ride ever. He was so excited, and so he wanted to call his mom and tell his mom, and it was awful, because his mom told him, while he was on the phone with her, that, yeah, your dad left, and we're getting a divorce. And I'm like, oh, why did you have to tell him? And then I remembered back to my own life, and I was like, okay, Dwayne, this is your chance to do for somebody what somebody did for you. And that afternoon, that kid and I, we rode roller coasters together. We had fun. And every once in a while, we didn't have any great deep discussions because, well, he's 13 years old. He didn't want to have a lot of deep discussions. He wanted to eat junk food and ride roller coasters. And, you know, and that was okay. And we spent some time just playing. But it was that time spent that allowed me later to spend more time, that allowed me to get some conversations in with him and help him, help show him the love of Jesus and tell him, say, hey, you know what? Somebody did this for me once, and so I want to do this for you. I want to be Jesus with skin on. I wasn't that eloquent back then, but, you know, but that's what I wanted to do. And that's what we can all do, church. We can all do that, whether you're just showing up and just stopping for a moment, saying, God, how can I be you to the people around me? How can I keep on mission? Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to know. Help me to see. And so I want to pray, and we're going to sing this song, Trust in God. And just because we can, and I know that sometimes we get, it's good words, and things are going wrong, and we're like, I know that I can trust in God, but it sure is hard right now. And so, as I tell my kids when I give them wonderfully good advice, as I say, this is great advice, I want you to tuck it away in your brain so that later it'll come back to you, because I know you don't appreciate my genius right now. And so, I'll tell us all that, you know? Because maybe right now you're like, yeah, I got it. But this is genius that we can trust in God. So just tuck it in the brain. Just like, okay. And when the difficulties come, okay, I can trust in God, my Savior. He will never fail. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much that we can trust in you. We can call out to you. You're with us. And Lord, true success does come as we spend time with you, as we spend time in your word, praying, looking to you, loving on people. Help us to realize that that is the most important. Help us to keep that in the forefront of our mind, calling out to you, and just pray that this season Asbury Church is having right now, that we're heading into a new fall season with things changing in the fall. We pray that as we're looking for some direction and guidance, that you would provide it, that you would provide opportunities for us to continue to show your love to those around us. Encourage families. Give parents patience and wisdom for husbands and wives, patience and wisdom. Just for all of us, your patience and your wisdom to be the people you've called us to be. Thank you so much for your love. Just pray for those who maybe just dealing with their feeling like is a season of failure right now. Just reminding them that real success is found only in you. And that it may be a difficult season, but it's not the end of their story. And that in you, that true success and hope are found. I just pray that your Spirit would encourage them right now with that. Thank you for who you are, Lord. In your name we pray.